If you'll take your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Follow as I read, beginning at verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Shall we pray? Kind Father, we are so thankful that you are mindful of our weaknesses and our frailties, that you make provision to strengthen us in the inner man by the work of your Spirit. I would pray that as we prepare our hearts and our minds to be mindful of that great giving of your Son, the Lord Jesus, on our behalf, that we might have our sins removed, forgiven forever, that we would find this an occasion for great joy and great celebration, cause for gladness of heart, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So grant us that grace as we go through this portion of our meeting, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the consequences of the fall of Adam and disobedience of Adam and Eve was that the memory of mankind was forever tainted. That is to say that if you read from the beginning of Genesis all the way through up to Revelation, you'll find continuous references to that word forget, forgotten, and remember. You will find that it is true that God wants us to remember and not forget. When Moses prepared the people to enter into the land of promise, he talked about the fact that once they get there, don't forget and get enmeshed in the society around you. And so things have not changed through those thousands and eons of years. We still have a memory problem. But that's not foreign to God. God knows that we have faulty memories. Some of us are more faulty than others. And we could probably spend a good portion of our time me just sharing with you the things I've forgotten even in the last week. But it's there. But one thing we don't want to forget are those things that God gives us a significant means of remembering. And that's what we're going to do here this morning as we receive these elements. We're going to remember this great occasion that God spared not his only begotten Son, gave him as a lamb to the slaughter, who uttered not a word out of his mouth, received our punishment for our sin, rose again from the grave, and now serves as our great shepherd. Now, I read to you from the book of 1 Corinthians because that is the most exhaustive place in our New Testament that talks about what we're going to do here. It gives the clearest instructions so that for someone who's never participated, there's instruction there. For those of us who've participated for decades, there's still instruction because we do forget. Now, one of the things that I want you to notice with me in verse 28, he says, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He's speaking of these elements that are going to be passed to you, symbolic elements of bread and of drink. And he says, let a person examine himself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I want you to consider just real briefly and quickly four important words. The first word is examine. And I want you to notice that it's an examination of self. You are examining yourself. I'm not examining you. You're not examining the person next to you. It's a self-examination that is to occur before we receive the elements. It's a command. It's a verb. And it's an imperative. This is not an option. If you're here today, it's not that, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And to not examine oneself before participating in a communion service, before receiving the elements, is an act of disobedience. And so it simply means to look carefully, to see the genuineness of. It comes from an interesting word. I love, every time I get an opportunity, I love to tell its origin. It comes from the word in the culture of the day. They had no folding money. It was all metal. And they would melt the valuable metal, pour it into a mold, and when they would take it out of the mold, they would scrape the edges where they had the over fillage, so the rough edges, they would scrape it around. Well, as is in every profession, there were those who not only scraped off the rough edges, but they scraped off a little millimeter thinner and put it aside. And if they scraped enough coins over time, they could make a little spare change. And there were money changers and money dealers in the community. People knew they were shortchanging the people. They were giving them less than what the coin was stated in its value. And there was a name given for those people who were not cheaters. That's the word for examine, dokimai. So, the thought is, I'm looking for genuineness. I'm looking for genuineness as I look inside my heart. Then we come to that statement that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Oftentimes there's confusion on what the meaning of that word worthy or unworthy means. I recall many years ago, and talking with a woman, and she indicated, I invited her to communion. And she said, I never take communion. I said, why not? Well, she said, the Bible says you shouldn't take it unworthily, and I could never be worthy to take communion. I said, ma'am, my heart goes out to you because you've missed some real blessings through your life. Because you'll never be worthy in the sense that you're taking it. The only worthy one is the Lamb of God. He's the only one worthy, and worthiness doesn't refer to your personal value. Your personal value is found in Christ alone. And so you're sinning against God by rejecting an offer that he's given to help you remember. What it was written for was for the Corinthians, who were disobedient people. And their behavior, and if you want to read through 1 Corinthians, you'll find that their behavior during a communion service was atrocious. They were treating one another in their love feast and shunning the poor people and being exorbitant in their own meals, sinning in every way, and then they would prepare to take communion. And Paul said, it doesn't match up. Don't you know that you're sinning and then you're participating in a memorial service that God provides to remind us that we've been saved from our sin? So how could that be? He says, stop, examine yourself. If you're hanging on and you're committing sin and just repetitious and you know it, and then you come and take communion? That doesn't match up. That's not what redeemed, washed, obedient people do. He says, if you do that, what you're doing when you receive the cup and when you receive the bread is that you're bringing damnation on yourself. Now, that word has a multitude of meanings, but it's a judicial word. It's a word that means here's your crime, here's your guilt, and here's your condemnation. And he says, when a Christian pays no heed to self-sin, knowingly sin, they're making a judicial system on themselves. And that judicial system is condemnation. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But I'm going to receive the elements that represent the removal of sin anyway. But you're guilty, he said, of not discerning the Lord's body. Wait, the Lord's body was hanged on a tree, beaten, bruised, shamefully screamed and yelled at, tortured in physical ways we cannot imagine. That body you're going to take a symbol of? With sin? That body that was given for our sin? And he goes on to describe out of that that the consequence on the Corinthian church was sickness, ill health, and for some of them, it was even death. Now, that's not cause for you and I to look around and say, okay, let's make a list of all the sick people and all the dead people. And this is self-examination. Doesn't go out beyond your own heart and soul and mind. And so we are to do that examination. Now, we want to be able to identify if there is ongoing practicing sin, and we want to confess it. Is that not a true statement? At least nod your head. That's a true statement. We want to know of personal sin that can be removed. Go back to John chapter 10 now, and I want to take two statements from our scripture reading this morning that could be of help to us. John chapter 10. Okay? John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd and known of my sheep and am known of mine. You look real carefully, if you have real good eyes, you can see that the word sheep is italicized. A literal reading says this, I am the good shepherd and know mine. That's what that word my means. It's the same word that's found at the end of the verse. I am the good shepherd and I know mine and have known of mine. I know mine, mine know me. Now, I am the good shepherd is a metaphor. John is a master at metaphors. The I am statements. A metaphor is where you put something that you understand here with clarity, and you put something over here that you don't have clarity over. And the clarity that you have of this will give light on this which you don't understand. We know that the people to whom the Lord spoke, the Pharisees and the legal minds of the day, the religious people, were dull of hearing, they were rebellious of heart. And so God and the Lord Jesus Christ, out of a deep love for all unregenerate men, giving charity to their ignorance and their willfulness, works his way through. I am the bread of life. Do you think those people knew what bread was. That was the staple of their diet. They sure did. And he says, I am me, the one that you don't like, the one you hate, the one you disparage. Me, you don't have clarity on who I am, and I'm going to help you. I'm like bread. But I'm the bread of life. He says to them, I'm the light of the world. If anyone knew what light was, they knew what light was. Because in that era, they didn't have light 24/7 like we do. I yearn for the day. Of course, I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat. But I yearn for the day to find a place of real darkness. You can't walk anywhere in my house and you don't see a little blue light or a little this or a little that. Always light somewhere, right? Light, light everywhere. Well, these people knew about light because they didn't have light everywhere. If you've ever been to a community, if you've ever been in a culture where they have no street lights, on a dark night, it is dark. And it takes just a match to shed light on a lot of things. So they knew what light was and the importance of light and the force of light. And he says, I am this one that you disparage. I'm the light of the world. I'll give light to your darkened soul and your mind. I am the door. Did they know anything about sheep and shepherds? Now, I find this interesting, and maybe you could help me afterwards. You'll break my train of thought if you try to help me now. But afterwards, if you could help me understand, in all my years of ministry and visiting people in the hospital and places and people in infirmity, or just say, hey, would you like for me to read the Bible to you? 90% of the time they'll say yes, and 80% of that 90%, I say to you, where would you like for me to read? And they always say, please read Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Everybody knows Psalm 23. The funny part of it is, none of us own a lamb. Do we? We ain't a dog or a cat, but a lamb. So how does a lamb shed light for you and for me on Jesus Christ? Well, it's only going to be what we learn and read in the Scripture. But to them, they were all over the place. Did you know that on a Passover meal, they would slaughter 250,000 lambs? They had a system for it. So when the Lord uses the term lamb to these people and shepherd to these people, getting to Jerusalem, they had to pass fields of flocks and shepherds, and some of them were shepherds, and so he was trying to give them light. Now, in our experience, or I should say in our experience, I want to just ask you to focus with me on two things. Okay? Now, remember, these are going to help us to examine our hearts. I'm going to ask you two questions. Now, I want you to flip in order on your handout. B will be A and A will be B. I'm going to start with this. Here's my question. Does Jesus Christ know me? Does God know me in the same manner that a shepherd knows his sheep? Does Jesus Christ know me in the same manner that a shepherd knows his sheep? You say, well, I'm not so sure how well a shepherd knows his sheep. Well, don't worry. God takes care of that. You can read through. Pastor has done an excellent job of his preaching through John chapter 10. We know a lot about shepherds and good shepherds and bad shepherds and sheep. We know a lot about that. And you can just go back and review your notes and read. But let me just ask you this in that text. It says in verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let me ask you just two questions. do you listen to what God has to say when He speaks in His Word? God's sheep, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, speaks to us through His Word and through the confirming presence of the Holy Spirit about His will and desire for us. My experience tells me when I meet a person who professes to know Christ and I ask them, what are you reading in your Bible? And they say, nothing right now. What Bible reading program do you use to read systematically in the Scripture? Can you give me some pointers and help me? I need to find a way to read systematically. If they look at you with a blank stare, my thought in the back of my mind is if they are, and it's not for me to judge, if they are a sheep from the flock of God, they are in great danger to wandering away. And sheep do that, don't you know that? They hear, he says, and they follow. I didn't say that. Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. That's my question to you. Look at with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hold your place there in John. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, part A, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You say, well, doesn't God know everybody? Oh, yes, He does. But He doesn't know everybody the same. The shepherd are known by the sheep. Now, this is critical. This is essential that you be able to answer in your mind. Does God know me the way a shepherd knows his sheep? Let me read something to you that a lot of people just soon not hear. I'm going to read it from the Gospel of Matthew. You can follow, you can check on me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, and that's judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonders? And then will I, Jesus Christ, profess unto them, I never knew you. Now that's within the hearing of the most religious people on earth at the time, who knew more about the Bible and were more religious in their behaviors. And the judge upon the great white throne says, I never knew you. Now that is, to me, is an essential truth. As a pastor, one of the things that I would never want to leave anyone in any doubt about is that the fact that you can know and be known to be a child of God. God puts a seal, it says in 2 Timothy, on our heart. Seals show ownership. They show security. Paul said to the church at Rome, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So God knows us. He lets us know He knows us. And if He doesn't know us the way a shepherd knows his sheep, He will say, "I never knew thee. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's willfulness. That's a willful personal religion is what He's addressing there. You're religious, but it's your religion, but you won't receive me, the sent one of God. You see how essential it is to know that the shepherd of the sheep knows you as one of His. That He set His seal on your heart, He confirms in your heart. He goes on to say, "Therefore, if you hear the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished." They were astonished. And so in your heart of hearts, I would ask you one last time. As far as you are in your walk with the Lord, does the shepherd know you like one of his sheep? Secondly, do you know your shepherd like a sheep knows his shepherd? Do you hear his voice? Does he lead you? Do you follow him? Do you let him nourish you and feed you? I don't know if you remember when Pastor Ben went through the first part of that chapter 10. He talked about hirelings and good shepherds and the relationship. I would just say to you, settle a very serious matter right where you sit. Settle it yourself in your heart. Two simple things. Does God know me? And do I know God? We know God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's amazing of all of the dots. And when I was working through the passages on this, I just kept it going. And I said, "Martin, you're going to have a real hard time stopping." Because the confirmation of these truths are so evident in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life." That's a perk of the ears, right? Hey, what's eternal life? Jesus Christ said, "This is eternal life." Now listen to it very carefully. "That they might know thee." People who have eternal life know God. They know him like a shepherd. They know him like a light. They know him like a door. "They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." To know God and to be known of God is the greatest joy and privilege ever put on the human race. And we gather this morning to celebrate that great occasion. I am known of him, and he knows me, through his Son, the Lord Jesus alone. I challenge you to follow with a humble confession in your heart after you've searched, expressing gratefulness in your inner man, and then we will receive the elements. I'm going to ask Brother Vaughn to come and just play quietly while you ask yourself those two simple questions. By faith, does God know me like a shepherd knows his sheep? Do I know God like a sheep knows his shepherd? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our kind Father, thank you for the message of your word and from the hymn writer that the blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses us from all our sins. And Father, if there's one in our midst this morning who's never put their faith and trust in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, depending upon wholly his death and burial and resurrection as their only means of being right with you and knowing you as their great shepherd, I pray that you would give them the light from your word to know that they can receive that gift even where they sit by faith. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Thank you for providing that Savior in Christ Jesus. I receive him by faith alone. Amen.